This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
I am going to talk to you a little bit this weekend about being willing to live a little more sacrificially for the sake of the gospel. Listen, we're not going to be here forever. Jesus is going to come back, and maybe pretty soon, the way things are looking, I don't know. But when it's over, honey, it's over. There's no do-over. So, point number two. If we want to love people that are difficult to love, the first thing we need to do is pray for ourselves to have a proper attitude before we ever bother to pray for them to change. And I'm serious. I learned a long time ago, I do not go to God and pray for my husband to change without approaching the throne in this fashion. Lord, this thing is really hard for me, and obviously I would like you to work in Dave's life. Hi, babe. He usually sits down there. He's up here tonight because he's got a cough, and if he started coughing, he wanted to escape quickly. However, he's now closer to me, so if I say much, he can come up here and take the microphone. But first I will pray now. Lord, maybe I'm not even seeing this right. I may be the one with the problem. And so, first of all, deal with me. Don't ever go to God in prayer about somebody else's faults if you don't go with a humble attitude. Amen? That's just not a very safe thing to do. Because just because we think we know what's wrong with somebody doesn't mean that we do. Amen? Ooh, this is better than I thought it might be. Pray that we will see our own faults, because if we do, it will make it much easier to be patient with the weaknesses of others. Because when we see our own faults, it brings a degree of humility into our lives. Matthew 7:3, why do you stare from without at the very small particle that's in your brother's eye? Let me give it to you. I think it's the Living Bible. Why do you stare from without at the toothpick that's in your brother's eye, but you don't become aware of the telephone pole that's in your eye? And that's it. Just imagine if there were two people up here, and one had a toothpick sticking out of his eye, and another one had a telephone pole sticking out of his eye, and the guy with the telephone pole sticking out of his eye is trying to correct the guy with the toothpick in his eye. And actually, if you go and read all those scriptures in Matthew 7, I mean, it gets really good, because he said, go first and get the telephone pole out of your own eye, then you will see clearly how to take the toothpick out of your brother's eye. See, we don't know how to help people properly. There's no compassion, no gentleness if we've got a bigger mess in our life than they do, but we're blind to our faults and only see theirs. Maybe there's just somebody listening in here by TV. Maybe you could just think about this a little bit. Maybe you could just think about all those people you don't like, and you could just maybe ask yourself, is it even remotely possible I mean, I know it would be very remote, but is it even remotely possible that I could have more problems than they do? Well, I'll just leave that with you. Now you'll like this one better. Number three. Pray for the person who's being difficult to get along with. Yes, thank you. But don't pray for them to change just to make it easier for you. But pray for them to be all that God wants them to be. So, pray for the person with humility. realizing, but for the grace of God, there go I. Romans 12:3, for by the grace, I love what Paul, how Paul approaches this. He's getting ready to correct the Romans, and he says, by the grace of God, I warn everyone among you not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to. So he didn't just go in there and start telling them off. He said, look, I'm only coming to you and daring to tell you this because God has given me a grace to do this. And so I'm telling you, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to. Don't have an exaggerated opinion of your own importance. And you know, honestly and truly, sometimes being judgmental of other people, it is a mechanism that we come up with to not have to deal with our own problems. As long as I stay busy thinking about what's wrong with you, I don't have to deal with what might be going on in my own life. So I've kind of found out in my many years of experience of doing a whole bunch of stuff wrong and hopefully learning to do a lot of it right now, that I really need to spend less time on other people and more time on me. Amen. Don't have an exaggerated opinion of your own importance, but rate your ability with sober judgment, each according to the degree of faith apportioned by God to him. Pray for people. I'm just going to give you a few ways to pray for people. Pray that God will help them be all he wants them to be, to do what he wants them to do. Pray that God will open their eyes, that they actually can see and recognize when they hurt other people. Because they don't see it. They didn't get up that day planning to hurt you. Pray that God will help them get to the root of their problem, because behavior modification is not the answer. You can be in a relationship with somebody and you can say, if you don't do this and this, I'm leaving. Well, maybe out of fear, they'll straighten up and be able to change something for a period of time. But you've all had the experience, it comes back. It pops up again somewhere else. Because just behavior modification is not what people need. They need a heart change. They need a nature change. And if they've got so many problems in their life that they can't see God themselves, then they need to see us act like God. And it is a sacrifice. I am going to talk to you a little bit this weekend about being willing to live a little more sacrificially for the sake of the gospel. Listen, we're not going to be here forever. Jesus is going to come back, and maybe pretty soon, the way things are looking, I don't know. But when it's over, honey, it's over. There's no do-overs. And I want to really make an effort to take as many people to heaven with me as I possibly can. So if I have to keep forgiving the same person over and over and over and over and over, or I have to keep believing the best, believing the best, believing the best, believing the best. Now, we all need to see a little progress. There's no doubt about that. But I really believe that you can kill the meanness in people with kindness. I mean, I proved that with my own father, and it's too long of a story to get into right now, but many of you have heard me testify about how God put it on my heart to take care of him and my mother till they died. And if anybody in the room thinks I wanted to do that or thought it was fair, you have got another thing coming, because I did not. But it was the single most powerful thing that I've ever done in my whole life. And my father's in heaven getting to hear the message tonight. So isn't that good news? Pray for discernment. We need more discernment. We are too much off the top of our head. We need to pray for discernment. Discernment goes deeper than just what we see or what we think. You remember Jesus when the woman was caught in adultery and they were trying to trap him? Because they knew he, you know, was this big love guy, and now here she's broken the law, and the law says you got to stone her. So now, okay, Mr. Love, what are you going to say about this one? And so he knelt down on the ground, and the Bible says he wrote in the dirt with his finger. Now, what's that all about? You know, what? And then he slowly gets up, and he says, well, I'll tell you what, let whichever one of you has no sin throw the first stone. You know what I believe he was doing? This is my personal opinion, but I believe that he was taking just enough time to hear from his father about the just right way to handle that situation. What would happen in our lives and in our families instead of just, well, if you do that again, I'm out of here, and if you get me, I mean, come on, we all know that don't work. Well, it's no secret that our world today is facing huge problems. Increased anger, hatred, violence, strife, and a lack of real love is more prevalent than ever. So what's the answer? We must learn to live in peace and walk in love, and we absolutely must learn to love people that are hard to love. For the last 2 days, I've been sharing about this topic, and now I'm here with Ginger to take some of the questions that you've sent in. Well, Ginger, I bet you got some good ones, don't you?
So many good questions. So many important questions and difficult questions. So I hope you're on your A game today. I'm not worried. So let's just begin at the beginning. What is the first step toward loving people who are hard to love? Where do we even begin?
Well, I think you have to understand what love is. Mm. And love is not a feeling. Love is a decision that you make because you know that God loves you and that he loves you unconditionally and that he wants the love that he has put in you to flow through you to other people. So you're really not trying to love people with your love. You're loving them with the love of God.
That's really a key point right there.
It is. And, you know, my mom, I'll tell this story real quick. People will get the point. My mom knew my dad was sexually abusing me, and she didn't do anything about it. And so in many ways, I had a harder time getting over that than I did what he did. And probably 35, 40 years after this happened, my mother asked me one day, how do you feel about me? And I said, well, I'm not going to lie to you. I said, I probably will never love you like a girl would love her mother if everything would have been normal in my childhood. But I said, I do love you with the love of God, and I will always make sure that you're taken care of.
Yeah.
And so
you made a choice.
I made a choice. And so love is, first of all, praying for people. When there's somebody that's hard to love, Jesus tells us what to do. He says, pray for them, bless them. If they're hungry, give them something to eat. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. So I've kind of narrowed it down to pray for people because it's very difficult to stay mad at somebody that you're praying for all the time. And secondly, to pray for God to bless them. And we think, well, I don't want them to be blessed. And I told God one time, I said, I don't want them to be blessed. And we think that when we pray for somebody to be blessed, that they're going to get a bunch of money or a new car. And that's not it. It's like God may bless them with a revelation of what they've done so they can repent.
Right.
And have a changed life. And you have to be committed for, I'll say, the long haul, because it doesn't always happen overnight. Mm-hmm. But then the real big thing that's going to change somebody who's hard to love is being good to them, because they know deep down that they don't deserve it. And so, you know, we were really good to my parents. I mean, we bought them a house. When they needed to go to assisted living, we took care of that. We paid for the nursing home. We went to see them. Made sure everything was taken care of in their life. And it took about 3 years of doing that before my dad finally apologized for what he had done to me when I was a child. But it, I mean, Jesus says it, if your enemy's hungry, give him something to eat. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. So what's he saying other than if he has a need, you meet that need?
Yeah. Well, this question goes along with that a little bit. This is from Fran, and she's asking on Facebook, I don't think you have to love people that are hard to love. Isn't it okay to move on from people that cause you great grief and sadness?
Well, you can still love them. Some people you do have to love from a distance, especially if they're still abusive. But you still are required by Scripture to pray for them, to bless them, and to help them should there be a need. Unless, of course, helping them would not be wise.
Right, or put you in danger.
Or put you in danger, yeah. You know. But I do think that some people you just can't be around. You have to love them from a distance. And, you know, she's saying, I don't think you have to love them. I think you can move on from them. And you can move on from them if that's what's best for them. But we always tend to want to do what's best for us. And they need help.
And you can move on and still love.
It's not, we can't hold bitterness and resentment and unforgiveness in our heart and be healthy spiritually.
Yeah. This question is, how do you love someone who has different political beliefs than you do?
Well, first of all, if it was me, I wouldn't get into it. I would just say that's not something that's obvious. We feel differently, but let's just not, we need to find points where we agree, not find points where we disagree. And probably there's no more arguments caused than over politics or religion. And they're very foolish things to fight about.
Yeah.
Everybody really does have a right to their own opinion in those areas. God gives us a right to make our own decisions, and we should give other people the same right that God gives us.
So it's a loving respect.
Yeah, really,
yeah.
It is.
That's good. Okay. This question says, I hate to admit it, but I have this tally board in my head of people and what they've done wrong to me over the years. How do I erase the tallies and start loving them?
Okay, well, forgetting what lies behind. And I had an experience one time where I just kept thinking about all the things I didn't like about Dave. And I had that tally board too. Actually, I wrote them down on a piece of paper.
They weren't just in your head.
No, I had wrote them out. And then I felt like the Lord put on my heart, now write down the things about him that you like. And, you know, I was really surprised to find out there was more that I did like about him than that I didn't. And I think that we focus on the negative, and we really should not do that. You know, it's just like people's problems. I was thinking earlier this morning, you know, everybody's got something in their life that they would rather not have. You know, you don't go very many days that there's not something that you could get upset about. But if we focus on our problems, they just become bigger and bigger and bigger. But there's, in everybody's life, and there may be people watching that say, you don't know my life, but in everybody's life, if they'll really look at it, there's more good going on than bad. We just look at the bad things, and then that seems like that's all that there is.
Right.
And so I think that, you know, we have to
change that tally board.
Change that tally board. You know, it's like the Bible says love takes no account of the evil done to it.
Oh, that's good.
And I tell you, I used to be a very good accountant.
Yeah. So when you began looking at things in a different way, did that really open the door?
Oh, sure. That always helps. I mean, matter of fact, I would say that helps pretty much immediately. You don't even have to wait long for that to help. It's like our thoughts are what get us in trouble, Ginger. It's really our perspective. It's the way we decide to look at things, or even our own expectations. Sometimes we're expecting somebody to do something, and they don't even know we're expecting them to do it.
Yeah.
So we get mad because they didn't do something they didn't even know we were expecting them to do.
Right.
And there's a lot of times our problems do come back to us, and we don't like to admit that. But it's not always. Sometimes it is, but it's not always that it's everything that's wrong with the other person. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's my expectations, the way I'm looking at it, or, you know, I've harbored something and let it become a lot bigger than what it really is.
Right. Well, there are some really difficult people in the world.
Oh, absolutely.
Let's be honest. I mean, some people, here's a question that says, if you live with someone who was determined to be unhappy, how do you keep on loving them and remain happy yourself?
Well, I can answer that because I was a person who was determined to be unhappy. Mm. And Dave tried for a while to make me happy. And I'll never forget it. He said to me one day, he said, I don't care what I do, you're not going to be happy. So he said, I'm done trying, but I'm going to enjoy my life. And he just went ahead and enjoyed his life. And the thing that was good about it was he didn't just write me off. It was like on days when I would let him, you know, love me and enjoy things, he would always do the right thing. But if I had a pouting session or a pity party, he would just go on, play golf or play with the kids or do whatever he wanted to. And to be honest, that was one of the things that changed me. Mm. He actually did me a big favor. He didn't rub it in my nose, you know, like, oh, look at me, I'm having a good time and you're just sitting over there. He just quietly went about his life. And, you know, one of the things that we do that is really something we shouldn't do is we let other people's behavior and problems control our lives. Mm-hmm. And that's really codependency. It's like my happiness is based on your happiness. So if you're not happy, now I'm not happy. And you really help the other person more if you show them the example of what they can be if they'll permit it.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
All right, next question. The world is a harsh place, and sometimes I feel like it's a lost cause. How do I love people that act so angry and are filled with hatred toward me?
Well, I think we have to remember that hurting people hurt people. I remember when God said that to me regarding my dad, and it really, really helped me. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody just gets out of bed every morning and thinks, I'm going to just go see how mean I can be today. They've got a sour attitude. They've got something going on inside of them. They've been taken advantage of. They've been hurt. You know, I've been thinking the last few mornings as I pray about all the pain in our world and all the unhappy people, the depressed people, the sick people, the people that have lost loved ones. And we need to be praying for those people because we let them make us unhappy without remembering how unhappy they are. Mm-hmm. And so there's a scripture that's in Isaiah 43:25. God said, I forgive all your trespasses and remember them no more for my own sake. And I just really noticed that a few days ago and I thought, for your own sake. Wow.
That's really a key phrase.
That's really a key phrase because I've been teaching people for a while now, you know, do yourself a favor and forgive. And so in this situation, it's like, we have to remember that we always think, well, you're making me miserable. But think how miserable they have to be making you miserable. And I know that all this sounds easy. It's not easy when you're the one living in the house with somebody like that. And my advice is if you are in a situation, a job situation or a family situation where you have to put up with something like that, then do yourself a favor and purposely get around as many other people that are edifying and fun and uplifting and encouraging as you possibly can to try to recover and pray for God to comfort you. The Bible says that God is a comforter, the comforter, and that He will comfort us, and then the comfort with which He comforts us, we can use to comfort other people. And so the minute that you're hurt, pray for God to comfort you. You have not because you ask not.
No, oh, that's so true. What I really love about this whole concept of loving people in a new way, the way that God wants us to, is that nothing will change us, other people, and the world around us like this will. I mean, it's really a win-win-win situation.
And it's a one person at a time. It's like,
yeah,
we can't look at the whole thing and say, well, no matter what I do, nothing's going to change. Because First of all, God only holds us accountable for our part. And someday we will stand before God, and he's not going to want to hear, well, everybody else acted like a jerk, so I did too. He wants us to obey him. And if enough people, enough one and one and one and one and one will do it, we can see a difference. And we always have to remember that all things are possible with God.
Yeah.
When I was praying this morning, I thought, the world is in such a mess, and there are so many, I mean, really, we're in a time where evil is said to be good and good is said to be
That's
evil.
Right, yeah.
So we really are living in the last days. Now, that whether that means Jesus will be back in 200 years or tomorrow, I don't know. But we are getting closer and closer and closer to Christ's return. And so we really have to stay out of that negative flow that's going on in the world. And one of the, you must, absolutely must, stay close to God.
Yeah.
You cannot do this if you don't stay close to God. And also, I think remembering all that God's forgiven us for helps us to be able to forgive other people.
Well, your book will definitely help people to do that.
Well, I hope so. You know, today we're offering you the book that I've written, Loving People Who Are Hard to Love, for your gift to the ministry of any amount. And that's really a good deal for you. Prayerfully, you'll give as much as you possibly can, because there's so many people that are going to want to get the book that can only give a small amount, but some of you that can give a larger amount, you can help make up for that. So please get this book and read it, pass it on to other people, tell other people about it. Let's start a revolution of love. We can conquer the enemy if we all come together and love like we have never loved before. Thank you for being with us today.
So, you've never been to a Love Life Women's Conference?
What?
Well, this is the one. This is the 40th anniversary celebration, and it is going to be big. And we're back in St. Louis, where Joyce began it all. Register now at joycemeyer.org.
Watch episodes of Enjoying Everyday Life, read daily devotionals, follow a Bible study plan here, 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 and here. The same great teaching from Joyce that you know and love now in the palm of your hand with the new Joyce Meyer Ministries app. Think of it as your daily dose of encouragement right here, right now. Search Joyce Meyer in your app store and download the new Joyce Meyer Ministries app today.
I love that magazine she sends out.
There's something in there for everybody.
The Enjoying Everyday Life magazine is free. Subscribe at joycemeyer.org to read encouraging articles from Joyce and much more.
Reading through the magazine confirms for me God's at work.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. For more information, visit joycemeyer.org. This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.